All right, so I'm going to start with this. Kind of the questions are a little bit backwards, but it's on purpose. First question, why wisdom? Why would we be talking about wisdom? What do you think?
The Beyond
Know. Say it again.
Beyond Know makes a great book.
All right, amen. Who else? Fair enough. School starting. Who?
We need a manual for life.
We need a manual for life.
Seems like there's foolishness everywhere.
Okay, now we're getting at it a bit, right? I mean, all these are real. We need help. We need help. There's all kinds of foolishness, and it doesn't just get applauded. It gets rewarded at times. It gets viral, and people make bank on it. But they can't build a life on it. So what is wisdom? What do you guys think?
God's
fine gold, fruit, God, favor, God's fine, gosh, all of that. His riches, his blessing, fine gold, favor.
Learned experience,
good. What do you think? Any other thoughts on that? I'll get to it in a little bit. Like some of the thoughts that I have on that, but yeah, Aaron.
Wisdom is discernment, understanding, knowledge, practical, front and
back. Amen. That's good. Practical discernment, how you can live it out. Look, Jesus said the wise man does what? If you're wise, what are you going to do? We just read it in Matthew 7, went through it for a little bit. He builds what? Yeah, he builds his house on the solid rock. And what did he say his solid rock was? His word, right? He says, you're like this wise man that builds your house upon the solid rock if you hear my words and do them. Now, we can know a bunch about wisdom and not do much about it. We're about to read a bunch of things from Solomon in the next 3 weeks. Homie was the most wise guy ever, but not wise guy like smart aleck. He was wise, and yet he made some really poor choices. He forgot to live out what he knew, but he wrote it down, and I'm grateful for that. So let's jump into this real quick, too. What's a proverb? Okay. Was it good? Any other thoughts? What?
Do this, get that, don't do that, and get this.
We're going to read actually a little bit later where about every other, like the even verses are do this and the odd ones are you get that. Yeah, so that's cool. Good work.
Wise sayings.
Good. Any other thoughts? All right, let's get to it. Would you join me in Proverbs 1, right in the beginning? If you are somebody without a Bible, we have black Bibles for you to pick up and make your very own. And if you go to the middle of the Bible, so to speak, you'll probably find Psalms or Proverbs. You go to Proverbs, it's going to be on page 527. And that's for you. If you have the Bible app on your phone, go for it. Uh-uh. Is it really? Well, they are. Okay, cool. Could be the same in yours. Right here, I'm going to be reading out of a book that I took a bunch of notes in, and it's the English Standard Version, the Gospel Transformation Bible, and it's on 795. Nope. Okay. So let's get to it right off the bat. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. This is how my brain has been working, coming off of this clash of kingdoms. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the one and only true King. I thought of him immediately when I saw Son of David and King of Israel. He's the true Son of David, and he's the true King of Israel. Indeed, he's the King of Kings. And so I was like, wow, Lord, I can't wait to learn more and more about you. But in the practical, in the very, very nuts, bolts, who was this written to and by? It was Solomon. And he was son of David, literally. And he was also literally the king of Israel. And he had stuff to say. He wanted to say that wisdom's for everybody. And God actually wants everybody to be wise. He wants everybody to live life skillfully. He wants everybody, not just in a parabolic way, but in a practical application way. Practice these words. Live this out. Friends, there's 31 chapters, if you will, in the book of Proverbs, and you and I could read one every day. In addition to whatever else we'd be reading, whether that be news, whether that would be sports, whether that would be something on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram, or even more of the Bible, add this to your daily reading. Understand that this is for us to live life. And so this is how he breaks it down. And so we're going to go 2 through 6. Thank you, Robin. So these are from Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. I want to give, again, a shout out to Jesus, who is the true king of kings, and he's the one that lived life the most wise. This is so you can know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. This wisdom is for everybody, whether you're super smart or whether you're super simple. Whether you're older or younger, this is for you. How to deal in life and to deal rightly and to be equitable and to be kind. I mean, how often do you hear, whether it's from your children or from your own mouth or from people you work with, that's not fair? Anybody? Am I the only one who hears that? Is there anybody else that hears that? Nice. Anybody else that says it besides me? Anyone? Some of you are like, well, man, now you're getting to meddling. Yeah, that's how that works sometimes. Look, I'm going to get to this. Wisdom. This is a skill for living daily life well. Skills to live your daily life well. And a proverb, well, snagged it straight from this Bible that I'm reading, the notes in there. This is a briefly stated, time-tested insight into real life. This is for everybody. And we can learn from it. We can gain from it. If God wants us to live well and go to Jesus again, he's like, look, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. You want to have a great life, build your life on what I say. Build your life means do it, right? How many of us, honestly, and whether you raise your hand right now or not, but how many of us generally know the right thing to do? And yet, all of us fall short of the glory of God. So we need help. We need help. It's okay to admit it. And if we're going to get help, I think we ought to go to what God says about what life is. I mean, that's as simple as it gets for me. He's God and I'm not. And so this thought came to me in some meetings that I've had, but mostly in life that I've lived. Wisdom, Proverbs, all of it is living out life as a character reflection of God. Can we just, for a second, think about the culture that we live in? Whether you're into social media or not, you are into putting your best foot forward. Now, social media has a tendency to have filters on cameras and pictures and all that, and you add this and that, and there's this movie, I think it was Jumanji, I'm pretty sure it was most recently. This girl spends a bunch of time getting stuff already behind her to look exactly right, and then takes a selfie, because really that's the number one topic of most people's lives, self, and click, and then she does some stuff on it, and then the hashtag there is, just rolled out of bed. No filters at all. I mean, this is our lives that we live in. Now, some of you are like, I don't do that. I don't like the way I look. Okay, but what I'm saying is that whether you're on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, you and I have a tendency to want to look our best, whether it be physically or otherwise. And we tend to not be real with the fact that the best way for us to live is to display, to be literally living billboards for the character of God. That we would represent him in how we live and how we love and what we do. But a lot of times we'll just look at the Bible as a checklist of right and wrong. Look, these are things to do or not to do. Just tell me what I need to know. I'll go do it. And I'm very guilty of that. I'm also guilty of teaching like that. What I'm trying to say today and what I'll try to say over the next 3 weeks, including today, is that wisdom is living life skillfully and letting the one who actually designed us tell us the best way for that to be done. So I would display his character. I would live like him in this world because I want to, because he's the only true wise person. Wisdom actually is his to give. So what are the keys to this? How can we get at it? Well, glad you asked. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. When you hear the fear of the Lord, just maybe even the word fear, but when you hear the fear of the Lord, what comes to your mind? Amen. Amen. That's good. That pretty much sums it up, Aaron. Does anybody ever think, why should I be afraid of God? I thought he's my father. I thought I could just love him. I don't have to be afraid of him. Does anybody think that sometimes?
You know, like, he is the king of the universe. Everything goes through him. He can do anything.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, Aaron.
I just had a thought on this thing because I hear it a lot. Fear is a spirit and it confuses people. But if you put fear and just stand it up horizontally this way, false evidence appears real.
That's good.
Tormenting the mind. That's a Greek and succulent and vulgate torment of the mind.
It is.
Do not fret, do not worry, do not fear.
That's good. I like what you said there, man. There's a lot in that. False evidence appearing real. God's not false, and he is real. This idea of being afraid of him. The only time we should truly be afraid of him is when we're opposed to him. And even then, he's gracious until you're done breathing. Listen to this. It's about humility. Humility is an openness to God the Father's teaching, guidance, wisdom, his leading. I mean, that we would be open, we would be recognized. This is, again, for beginner or the advanced. It's humble fear. These are the keys. Humility and fear, but the right kind of fear, the reverence, the acknowledgement. Proverbs 3:1-8 says it really, really well. We also read, or you might have read while they're up on the screen, Proverbs 4:21-28 has some really, really good stuff on this. I want you to look for humility. I want you to look for fear. I want you to look for acknowledgement, respect, reverence. In Proverbs 3:1-3, I want you to look for that the whole time you're reading through all this. And we will be doing it over the next 3 weeks. It's really, really easy to read. 3 weeks, including today. I want to encourage you. When you hear son, you can literally put in the word child. This is for God's people. God wants us. He even calls us. Indeed, you guys, he urges us to acknowledge him. And this is a rewarding life. Death has entered the story for all of us. Some of us very, very recently. And that can really put you on notice, right? Like, wow, what's next? How do I deal with this? Is God still good even when life isn't? A rewarding life is that God is your reward. And he's actually the one who designed life. And so I will live for him. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. If you're not familiar with what all that means, it's like, look, these things cannot forsake you if you hang on to them and live them out according to what God says. So you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Humble fear. Recognition that I don't have it all together. Friends, you've heard me say this over and over again. There's so often that we'll say, look, money can't buy us happiness, but we're willing to give it another shot, right? Look, all that stuff that didn't work for me before I came to Christ, I don't know why I want to go back to it, but it's just something that I know. Look, we need to know something different over and over again. We need to submit ourselves to the one who made us, the one who saved us, the one who defeated death, the one who defeated sin. The one and only true king. You want fulfillment. You want rewarding life. Acknowledge God. Not just the head nod. You know how dudes are, right? You haven't seen somebody forever. Hey. That's a sentence for a dude, by the way. Right? It's like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you again. Wow. You losing weight? Right? I mean, it's just like, just a head nod. That seems like acknowledgement, but this acknowledgement, he even says it, he like gives you more in the sentence. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Lean on him. Acknowledge that he's God. Acknowledge in a humble way that you don't have it all together. In fearful reverence. Jesus is the greatest example of this. 100% God and 100% man. I want to share with you in the book of Isaiah. We're going to go to Isaiah 11, and it'll be 1 through 5. This is a little shout out to how Jesus was. This was literally a prophecy about him before he was ever born. Now, my theology, my understanding, the doctrine of who Jesus is, I know that he lived forever, but he became a man before he was on the scene. This was a shout out to him. This is why that very beginning of Proverbs made me think about Jesus. It's stuff like this. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Now, understand something about shoots coming from stumps. We had cottonwood trees that we didn't plant. Somebody else did, and they did a really cool thing. They uprooted my fence and got right to the foundation. And fortunately, they took a left or a right when they hit the foundation, but they're into my yard and all kinds of stuff. And so trying to figure some things out, we realized, though they're not our responsibility, we're responsible to do something about them. And so we had them cut down. Here's the crazy thing. Cut down stumps, gave all kinds of energy to the roots, and up in my yard are these little trees. I'm like, not today, Satan. Done. But this, what's that? To cut them up. Hallelujah. Salt doesn't do the trick either. I'm going to have to put something wicked on that. Anyways, look, a shoot comes forth from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was David's daddy. This shoot is Jesus. A branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and check this, and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. It's not something to be afraid of, it's something to delight in. The reverence, the awe, the respect. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. Well, then how is he going to judge? But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. This is Jesus. One of my favorite Bible teachers ever is a man named Tony Evans. Dr. Tony Evans. I love it. I've got an impersonation. I'll save that for another time. But here in his book, The Power of God's Names, Tony says this about Jesus. He could be thirsty because he was fully human, but he could walk on water because he was fully God. Because he was fully human, he could grow in knowledge, but because he was fully God, he also knew what people were thinking. Stop on that for a second. This is wisdom literally personified. The creator of wisdom becomes a man. And so he shows that he can learn, and yet he knows what people are thinking. This is the power of Jesus, the wisest person ever. And he acknowledged that he needed his daddy. Humble fear. Look at how it ends, man. One moment, Jesus agonized on a cross and died because he was fully human. 3 days later, he rose from the grave because he was fully God. Here goes the wisdom pearl for you today. Follow Jesus. Fully man, so you can know how to live. Fully God, so he can help you. It's Matthew 12:42, and we just read it not too long ago. Jesus is talking to this group of people, and he's talking about, really, among a number of other things, that there is a way in this world where wisdom gets lived out and people are drawn to it, but it's only God that does it. He says, look, there's a sign of Jonah, one greater than Jonah is here, and he's talking about himself, and then he goes to this. Matthew 12:42, the queen of the south, that was the queen of Sheba, will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Why would she condemn this current generation? Because they forsook wisdom. Wisdom was right in front of their face. It's Jesus. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She literally had heard, and when she got there, she saw how amazing it was. She goes, I didn't even hear half of it. Solomon, you're amazing. You're the bomb.com. Where can I get some more? She gave him gifts, and silver and gold and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus says, look and behold. So check this out, he says. She came and heard Solomon, and Solomon was amazing. Something greater than Solomon is here. Who is it? Hey, we're in church. You can say his name good and loud.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hey, listen now. This name, Yeshua, right? Savior, anointed one. He is 100% God, 100% man. He is wisdom personified. Let's get to know him some more. Let's understand that this wisdom that we've been poured out, even one whole book, right? Addressed to living out life skillfully, still points to Jesus. We're going to talk next week on how to dig in and how to go after it, but this week we want to say the best way for us to be able to know wisdom is to come humbly, open, admitting we need it. We need wisdom. We need to acknowledge him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do recognize you. We believe you. We trust you. We love you. God, for some in this room, you are not the great prize. You're not the treasure. You're one of many options in their lives, and I pray that today they would draw nearer to you. Indeed, they would humble themselves and have that fear, that reverence, that true acknowledgement, and lean not on their own understanding. And for others of us, Lord, we've been building on this great foundation, and somewhat we feel like more is needed. And so I pray, Lord, that you would, in your beautiful way, Holy Spirit, take us deeper. Help us to acknowledge you more. Help us to recognize you. Help us to share you. Help us not to hold this back, that wisdom is you. We want true wisdom, and it comes from you. May our eyes and our ears and our hearts be open, no matter what our age. And God, I thank you so much that in the midst of this world that's so full of foolishness, seems to find new ways just to be stupid. God, would we forsake that foolishness and that folly, and would we seek after you, even though to the world it looks foolish. But the world isn't our Lord. You are. So we trust you. We need you. And we thank you that when we ask, you don't hold back. So flood us with this. May we live a life that acknowledges you, that recognizes you, that celebrates you. And may we understand the reward is you. And may we not look for anything other than you. And that's hard work. So I'm grateful that you're there with us. You are Emmanuel. You always will be with us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.